Hey everybody, welcome to Table Noise. This is Bradley Haltom, and I'm here with Micah Carmack.
Yo!
And we're also here with Jody Champion.
Thank you for having me on the show, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Jody. I know you had a hard time getting here.
Google Maps failed.
GPS doesn't work always.
Time. It's a historic day in the history of my phone.
Have we completely ruled out human error at this point?
Yes. I will show you. I should have taken a screenshot of it saying, like, no, you're there.
I'm going to take your
word for it. You're there right now. And I was like, I'm not there. This is not even the right picture.
I mean, who really is there? How do you get there? Where is there?
What is there? What is there?
Everything. It was Fundy Way addresses that were in like the 3600s.
Yeah, and that's the opposite of what you wanted.
That was the opposite. I was not in the right place.
Table Noise is brought to you by we have a sponsor now, which I'm really excited about.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you. So
I know that can be hard to find.
Funding. It can be. We are sponsored by Healing Waters Mind and Body Float Studio. And I found out about the place on a Groupon, right? And it's a sensory deprivation float place.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, I will tell you. I will fucking tell you about what happened to me on Friday night.
Here it comes.
So I went to this place, right? And the owner, Lisa, who is this awesome human being. She's a very, very sweet person. I highly recommend, like, if anybody listening wants to go and experience a sensory deprivation tank. There's only a few places in Colorado where you can do it.
What is it?
This is one of them.
It's a giant water filled coffin.
Pretty
which
much.
You try not to, you know, lose your mind and composure.
It's about 4 feet wide.
That sounds awful.
No, it was incredible. It's about 4 feet wide.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's about 8 feet long.
Yeah.
And about 4 feet tall. Uh-huh. And it's a metal box. Okay.
Coffin.
And they put about 10 inches of water in it,
uh-huh.
and about 800 pounds of salt,
uh-huh.
of Epsom salt. And they heat the water to a temperature.
Oh my god, I'm so doing this.
It's the same temperature
it's
as,
like
your,
a detox.
As your skin.
It's like a detox? It can,
yes.
It
works.
Okay.
It works for detoxification. They heat the water to the same temperature as your skin.
What is the purpose of doing it?
Let me get there.
Okay. You are taking your goddamn time.
I am. Brevity is not my strong suit, so
it is the soul of wit. So
yeah. So
I'm
you
on
get
pins
it.
And needles here. Like, what the fuck does it do?
There's no sound. You can't hear anything in there because your ears are underneath the water.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no light
because
it's completely sealed. There's no smell because it's completely sealed and the air is being filtered.
God. I don't think I could do it.
The idea
limited
is that
supply of oxygen.
It isolates. There's air being pumped in and through. So. The idea behind it is it removes all senses, all sensory input.
Uh-huh.
So you have no feeling of touch. You can't feel where your skin ends and the water begins
uh-huh.
after about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
You can't hear or see or smell.
Uh-huh.
And it just leaves your brain with no sensory input whatsoever. And if you think about, like, just going day to day, you're constantly being inundated with your cell phone, the internet,
uh-huh.
commercials,
right,
radio,
right.
traffic,
the feeling
smog,
of socks,
other people, the feeling of clothes.
Yeah.
And you lay in this thing, right? So you lay in this thing, and after a while, your brain starts to go, what the fuck? There's nothing coming
no
in.
No input.
We need to figure out something to have here.
Uh-huh.
And for different, it can be a psychedelic experience.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of the only ways where you can actually reach a psychedelic state without the use of drugs. So I went in sober,
uh-huh.
And I hallucinated.
Uh-huh.
I do have experience, you know, with psychedelics.
Was it good or bad?
It was great.
Okay.
It was so good. I had a conversation in my head with a disembodied voice.
What the fuck?
And she told me that she was healing me. And I started to see stars in the distance, and there's nothing there. There's no light. I saw the moon, and I started to see stars in the distance. And I felt like I was being drawn back in a slingshot, getting ready to be just launched into fucking space. And the voice said, no, not yet.
What the fuck?
And I said, but I want to go with you. And she said, you're not ready. And the stars went away. And
oh
I started seeing meteors streaking across the inside of it.
It was like she was an angel.
Yeah, well, she told me she was the mother goddess. So I don't know what the
you
fuck that is.
You skipped that part.
Yep, well, because it sounds stupid.
The other stuff, not so much. But no, yeah, you're no, right. Brad, adding so that detail.
Salvation isn't for you. You have to go back to work.
But it was incredible. And so I was talking to the lady, Lisa, and asked her if she wanted to work something out with the podcast. And she said that for my listeners, if you go there and you mention the Table Noise podcast, or if you mention my name, your first float's $30, which is like 40% off.
Oh my God.
And you lay in there for 90 minutes, and it was absolutely incredible.
I want really to great. Meet the Mother Goddess.
Yes.
Go.
I would like to meet her.
Absolutely.
Go. And go. I
need
saw.
To, I need all the.
I'd
answers.
Be like, slingshot me into space. That seems fun.
Oh, I'm going to go.
Seems like super
alone
fun.
With
fucking
your
let it go.
Psyche. How do you feel about that?
What? Right?
Alone with your psyche.
Well, if you think about any psychedelic experience you've ever had, that's all it is. Like, yeah. it removes, like, granted, you can see, right, when you're on, you know, other psychedelics, you can see, you can feel, you can touch, you can hear, but it breaks down all the walls that you built up to protect yourself from yourself.
Yeah.
And then you figure out what the fuck is wrong with you, and you have no choice but to fix it.
Okay, I'm totally doing this.
Yeah.
I'm really scared to do it, because I'm really claustrophobic.
No, you know what, you can leave the door open.
I'm also gastrophobic.
You can leave the phobia if you or the door. you can leave the phobia. You can leave the phobia at the door. No, you can leave the door open if you want. If you're worried about the claustrophobia.
Do you have experience with meditation?
I mean, my brain, it's a really noisy place.
Oh,
guys.
I'm right there.
Me too.
It is, and I'm so ADHD. It is like, I'm seriously sometimes like, shut up. Like my brain is a very, very noisy place. What was the question?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like a Labrador that way. I get very easily distracted. So a ball bounces by and I'm like, start thinking about, oh, my childhood.
Well, real quick before we get too far distracted, because we all have ADD, I need to give out their phone number and
stuff.
How do
you get a hold of these fine folks?
You can call them at 303-466-5200. 303-466-5200. And you can find them on Facebook. They're off of 120th and I-25, so it may seem like kind of a drive to a lot of people, but like I said, it's one of three places in the Denver metro area where you can go, and it was great. I highly recommend it.
To take a braincation.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it.
Well, lots of things are scary until you do them for the first time, and then you just keep doing them over and over again.
That's actually why I started doing stand-up, because I was scared to death to do it. And I have this really weird thing where...
You have to conquer your fears?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I have to go skydiving, and there's nothing I can think of that scares the shit out of me more. And I'm going to do it when
bungee
I have
jumping.
An opportunity to.
Bungee jumping scares me way more than skydiving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What about sharks?
Yeah, and I would totally swim. I would swim in a shark cage.
Oh,
like,
fuck that.
And that is, like, the fucking scariest thing I can think of.
See, I've never... the impulse to swim in a shark cage, I've never found too... terribly dangerous. Like, you've got welded metal bars and they're on the other side of it. I mean, really, aside from you sticking your hand out, what's gonna happen?
What happens if the cable breaks?
Well, then
and then you sink
your bubbles
to your death.
Just will fill the void
and then you get the bins. Then what are you gonna do?
You'll fucking die.
You'll have too much nitrogen in your blood and your blood will boil.
Are you like me, or did you say that was like you too, like you have to conquer fears that you have?
Yeah. I have kind of that
characteristic.
The biggest motivator to me is somebody else telling me I can't do something.
See, I think like it's different for me. I think I do it because it's life affirming when I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel something.
Well, you never
I'm
feel more
like
alive.
Yeah.
You never feel more alive than when you think there's a good possibility you're gonna die right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Being on stage though, I mean, it is kind of it's a very visceral, natural, instinctual kind of like experience. It's I'd say it's almost sexual. When I used to play for a band and we would be on stage for more than four people, it was a thrilling experience in the same way that like you connect to somebody when you're sleeping with them and your body's entwined. It's kind of like I'm forcing you to connect with what I'm saying, doing, speaking, performing.
Yeah.
And if you're receptive to that, then we had this awesome energy exchange going on, and it feels really hot. It does.
No, it feels amazing. It's, very life-affirming.
It can feel equally terrible.
It can. It can, and it has. Oh, and it yes. will again, I'm sure. Oh, man. That can be rough. But...
Well, like the New Faces contest at Comedy Works is starting. And last year I did it, and I ate the biggest bag of dicks that there ever was a bag of dicks. I forgot my material.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah. I've completely spaced out. It's the first time it had ever happened to me, and it just and I had performed at Comedy Works several times before that, and it just so happened when it mattered, that's when I just forget everything, and I'm like, I was so new that like I wasn't able to just kind of be like, well, I forgot that material. Let's just start talking and see what the fuck happens. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't at that point, so I just kind of choked. Spent half of my time fucking walking around back and forth across the stage trying to figure out where I was and what was going on.
I had the worst show ever of my life in Grand Junction. And the worst part about that is that, like, you have 4 hours to drive back and, like, 4 hours of a car ride of hating yourself.
About what you did.
Can't just, like, drive back from Aurora. No, it had to be a fucking 4-hour drive.
Yeah, brutal.
Just thinking about, like, oh my god, I am so bad. I am so bad at this.
Why am I gonna do... I can't... Why do I do this?
Why do I do it to myself? That was so dumb. Because I went down there, like, really kind of cocky. Mm-hmm. I was really new. Mm-hmm. And, like, every show I'd done... was going so well that I was like, I'll just think of some jokes.
Right.
On my way to Grand Junction. Yeah, and then I'll just
fly.
And then I'll do it when I get up there.
And that's the worst.
They hated me. Plus it was like a Chinese food restaurant that was one of those like Jesus. They make the dinner on your table.
Good God.
And all of the people that were watching the show were like early bird special people and they didn't know that there was a comedy show. They didn't fucking want a comedy show.
Don't you hate that?
And so I went up and I started making fun of Grand Junction for just being Grand Junction. And people
what's
small
so grand
towns
about yeah, this place.
No people surprisingly, people do not like it when you patronize them for where they live.
Yeah.
And that was a lesson that I learned. And so they hated me right off the bat. Then it made me panic, and I forgot the other jokes that I was thinking of as I was driving in. And then I was like, well, here, I'll try this brand new joke that made my best friend laugh really hard. Mm-hmm. And it was like the dirtiest. Oh, it's so stupid, but, like, she was laughing really hard at it, so I told it, and the punchline, I won't tell it, because it's really bad, but the punchline was, like...
The punchline's a fart noise?
Yeah, and, like, and then I, like, drew that out, and there was this guy in the front row that was, like, ugh! And I was, like, I'm Jody Champion, thank you guys so much for coming out! Fuck. And I got off stage like 10 minutes early. Ruby was pissed. Oh my god. So yeah. Bad.
When you end your set with a noise.
And then somebody goes, ugh! And it was totally quiet. Like the whole room was dead silent. And then this one guy's like, ugh! And like everybody heard it.
Don't you love it when you think you're being edgy, but you're just crossing the line of bad taste? Don't even know it.
You know, I've never had an experience as bad as that since then. That was definitely, like, the lowest of the low.
I did a show kind of recently where we were in a bar, and it's on a Sunday night. It's 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. I start talking about my dick, right? Because I that's part of my material. I talk about sex on stage, right? And I look over, and there's like an 8-year-old kid that peeked his head up over the booth, and he's listening to me talk about sex in a really vulgar and raw way. And his mom is just appalled. But I'm halfway through the bit. I'm going to finish this fucking bit. You shouldn't have brought your 10-year-old to fucking a bar in Aurora on a Sunday night. He's got school tomorrow. What's wrong with you?
That's almost like getting caught masturbating and then like saying like close the door, I gotta finish.
Yeah, right? Like, either give me some help here or get out.
Yeah.
It's like being paid to come down to
a
bar.
Yeah, no, like I have to finish the joke.
It's like being paid.
I know you don't want to hear it. It's gonna get worse. Well, but I've started.
I feel bad whenever I'm doing jokes at like a bar or a restaurant where They didn't come there to see comedy. They had no idea people were going to be telling jokes. And you just feel like you're assaulting them with your thoughts and your words. And they don't want to listen. They're obvious. They have their back turned to you. They keep looking over at you like they're angry with you. So they obviously don't want you there. They just got off work and want to just have a beer and relax. Does that ever make you feel like a complete asshole?
When that happens? Oh my god!
I mean, customers don't exactly ask for that.
No.
Not the one. They're not going up.
You almost want to like go around to all of them afterwards and be like, "I'm really sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry. Like, I thought maybe you guys were gonna come with me, but you didn't, and that's cool.
My mother raised me better than that. I want you to know that this is not a reflection upon her.
This was art. This was art. It sometimes art doesn't work. Enjoy your cocktail.
Art has no place in a bar.
Nope.
No place whatsoever.
Unless it's neon
or somebody getting punched in the face or a ball going to and fro.
No, I've had some really good bar shows.
I have too.
I think it just depends on
I'm overgeneralizing,
the vibe of the people. But
yeah, there are some places that actually specialize in a cool atmosphere like that. That
and a lot of people come to the bar just to see the comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I find that to be really true, especially around town.
Yeah, what are some of your favorite places around Denver to play?
I really like playing Deer Pile, actually.
Yeah?
I like playing that room because I feel like it's like a really condensed group of people that, you know, like don't really know anything about me because I'm not a hipster and I don't live downtown. And like feeling when I do well and feeling like I've won them over with like, you know, like whatever empathy that they feel, I'm just like, yeah, like that's it's really gratifying is for me, because I feel kind of like an outsider sometimes.
Don't we all?
Comedy Works obviously is the
who doesn't love performing at Comedy Works.
I mean, it's
you
like
you cannot be very good,
and still
so
do
easy.
Really well.
Very self affirming, I guess.
It's
I
so easy.
It's really intense when you're doing really well too.
Yeah.
It's like this. It's like the wave. It's like the tunnel.
Are you gonna stop laughing so I can tell this next joke?
Mm-hmm.
And that it because it spreads. It spreads like fucking fire. It's intense.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. Agreed.
Where do you like workshopping? I mean, where do you try stuff out?
Lately, I've been going to Three Kings a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some really gross jokes. I'm like in a gross phase right now for some reason. Because it's what I feel like talking about. But yeah, I do Three Kings. I've been doing that pretty regularly here for a while. Nathan Lund hosts that.
Yeah. It's a cool open mic.
Yeah.
You get a real stage.
Yeah, and the people that are listening, like, they're really listening.
Right.
And that's really, like, your test audience, or your, what's the word? Your
demographic?
Your concentration. Your whatever group. Like, you know, like when you're trying to market something new.
I know what you mean. I'm trying to think of the word, and I can't think of the word.
Yeah, test audience works. I mean,
test audience, yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that.
The control, whatever. I don't know. Whatever the experimentation stuff.
Doing some chemistry on stage.
And I just like, and I like doing it there because there's usually a couple of like older women in the audience. And when I do a joke that sometimes men don't get and I hear women just like cackling, like falling over, I'm like, okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand.
Do you think there's a gender bias with your brand of comedy that, you know, might sometimes have to be explained to a less savvy male population?
That was like those were like three questions. What
you think there's a gender bias?
This way, you know what, you got me high before the show, and now I need you to repeat the question to me.
Sorry, let me try to dumb it down.
The thing about men is I think that they get my humor actually, for the most part, better than women do. But when I do jokes that I think only other women will understand, like that, like you, I'm like, oh, there are women in the audience, because now they're laughing.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like I, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I hear a lot of. I mean, there still seems to be a conversation within. I'm not talking about a local community, but more like, you know, national community abroad, of just comedians in general that still say that there's this looming like overgeneralization of women comedians.
Oh yeah, that like they're not good. I
well,
think people
yeah.
people will generally stay and watch me just because I think they want to see me fall flat on my face.
But I disagree with that.
No, seriously, like it's just because, you know, I'm not like a lesbian and I'm not like.
Well, why is that any more interesting than anything else?
Well, I think that like there's a typical kind of female comic, and it's usually not, you know, somebody that's like young enough to have a young child. and, you know, like a single mom. I don't know any other single mom comedians my age.
I mean, that's a good angle and everything, but I feel like in the past 10 years alone, like, a lot of barriers have been destroyed by all kinds of, like, awesome female comedians.
Yeah, and Maria Bamford. I mean, yeah.
Kristen Schaal.
I think that there is a bias just because there are more men that do comedy, so mm-hmm. it seems like men are funnier. But because there are men that aren't funny that, like, are still in that group, and we have the same ratio, I think.
Yeah.
And it just seems like there's not that many just because there's not that many.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah. I think when you look at it, it's just statistically, there's going to be way more funny men.
Because there are more men.
Because there's way more men.
Because there's more men.
Yeah.
And so people have the misinterpretation. Yeah, I totally... Okay, good. We're syncing on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, those same people, they'll say, well... You know, I've seen women comedians and they're not funny. It's like, yeah, I've probably seen the same ones and I could probably agree with you. But you're discounting all the many, 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 many awesome, awesome female comedians that there are out there.
And I love Kristen Schaal too.
And I hate the fact that we're even having, like, the conversation that I brought up because, why don't we just call everybody a comedian? It's really kind of gross when you're at a club and the guy bringing you on is like, you guys ready for a female?
Oh, I fucking hate that.
That drives me nuts.
I fucking hate that. Like, first lady of the night, and then everyone's like, woo! And it's like, what the fuck? Stop.
Your vagina's setting you
and
up.
And I'm not, like, I'll even laugh at misogynistic jokes, like, if they're funny.
Yeah.
I'm not a fem-Nazi in that way. I just, like, that is such a fucking stupid way to introduce a comedian.
It is a little bit demeaning, it seems like, even as a male audience member. It's like,
okay. You guys ready for your first black guy of the evening? Here he comes, guys. You're in for a treat.
Put your hands together and, try to show some support.
You guys ready for a white guy in his 20s with non-problems? You ready for that?
Here's your first 20-something white guy of the evening.
Chunky guy, beard. Yeah, he's fresh. It's fresh face.
So silly. But, I mean, like, I don't ever get pissed off about it, but I'm just like, ugh. Like, stop. Because comedians I really respect still do it to me. And I'm just like, dude, come on. Come on. I know that you're a little older, but, like, you don't have to do it that way.
Well, everybody's got to have their thing, you know? Like, he's the tall comedian. He's the redhead comedian. He's the guy who talks about, you know, his kids. And you're the woman.
And then they're like, and then after they see, they're like, oh, no, she's not the woman. She's the bad parent. That's what she is.
Do you find yourself having a hard time writing about being a parent? Do you ever feel like you can't help but cross the line? And
that's the only way it's funny, because we were talking about, like, getting drunk on purpose just because, like, they won't leave us alone.
Right.
And I think that that's a really honest, true thing that most people just wouldn't admit. And, like you hit something really true when you talk about that. And I think that if you feel it and I feel it, like,
and that's kind of the whole idea, right? Is
to
talk about something, or at least that's what I try to do, is talk about things that other people probably feel the same way but are afraid to discuss it.
Totally.
Because it's going to get them on a core level.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody's got to talk about it.
Yeah, come on. I can't be the only horrible person, you guys. I mean, I know some of you to do some pretty shitty things. I'm willing to bet that you got drunk on a Sunday on purpose and sent your kid to his room because you couldn't fucking handle it anymore.
Yeah. Right? Maybe it was just bad parents. That could be
maybe,
the case, too.
Maybe. There could be people listening to this and they're like,
oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're little gifts from the Lord. What are you doing?
Oh, you're full of shit, whoever you are.
Didn't ask for this gift.
Yeah.
Where's my gift receipt?
Yeah.
I find that I tend to make people feel uncomfortable when I talk about having kids.
Well, it's like, as long as they know that you really love them, and I try to convey that before I go into anything else, because I really, like, my son he is such a fucking great kid. Like, he's the best. I really love him so much. He does annoy the fuck out of me.
Sure.
And, like, you can't say that without, like, look, I really, like, he's my heart. He's my insides, you know. But I can't fucking stand him.
But that's the part people want to hear about. At least that's the part I want to hear about.
Because, right.
I mean, you loving your kid and thinking he's swell is nothing new. I mean, everybody does. Everybody likes their little shitbag. Not that your kids are shitbags. I've met yours. They're pretty all right.
He's
they're
had his right. fair share of shitbaggery, I will say that.
But the interesting human, you know, aspect of your experience is in the fact that, like, hey, I don't normally share this to strangers, but my kid's a fucking asshole sometimes. And he drives me to drink. So, I mean, that's the cool shit. That's the shit I want to listen to.
Yeah. I just think that there's something... I like setting up the contrast with it. You know, and I think that's why I always include that. Because there's nothing funnier to me than being annoyed with somebody that you love so much.
Yeah.
Because there's a love behind it, so it's easier to laugh at it rather than like, wow, this woman really wants to like shoot her brains out and drown her kid in the river.
Right. That's why when we're, you know, we see couples fighting in the park or at the malls or in the movies, like we laugh.
Well, it depends on what they're saying.
It depends on what they're saying, but largely you'll end up like, you know, just kind of hanging back and kind of just watching them for a while because it's very entertaining when people fight.
You know, actually, and I wrote a note about this on Facebook, I recently heard a lover's quarrel in the parking lot. Ooh, and and at first, like, I was kind of drunk by myself on a Friday, like I do, have a roll.
That's and, the best time to sneak up.
But that's no, and I was just like on my balcony listening to their fight, and I was writing jokes down when I thought about it, and then like the next morning I was like, he was calling her like a stupid bitch and stuff, and it's like that's really not that funny. I mean, like,
funny.
It's like, and then like, and like, then, but I want to write about
almost abusive.
It is abusive.
Well, I mean, ever physically, calling, like that's really close to being physically.
That's
abusive.
Exactly why it's so threatening to say because that. I mean, anytime I've been like, I mean, those words are sometimes followed by like acts of violence.
Sure,
and the words themselves are charged with such hate.
Right.
And like, just, you know, you fucking, like, you bitch, like, you dog, you fuck toy, you stupid, you know, it's like you dehumanize a woman whenever you call her a bitch.
Yeah.
Every single time you do it, like, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so, like, a girl screaming, like, you fucking dick, like, it doesn't have the same, like, power at all. Like, it doesn't have the same effect. And then so they're like, well, you were calling me names. I'm like, that's so different though.
Why do you think that's so different?
Because
it's you're still trying to hurt the person.
Yeah.
Whether you're calling them a dick or a bitch or an asshole or
I mean, I'm not qualifying the insult part of it, I'm saying like the impact is so you can't compare the two. Like you can't justify calling a girl a bitch because she called you a dick because she found out, you know, you cheated on her or something. Sure. Like
what
those...
if you left the toilet seat up?
No.
She sat in the toilet seat. And she goes, you fucking asshole. I hate you. So I'm done with this shit.
It's different though. Like a girl like calling a guy an asshole or a dick, it's almost like pounding your fists, you know, on like a giant. Like, the physical difference between the two of you...
Do
like,
you think it's a physicality issue?
I do.
But that's also an admission of weakness. I mean, that's essentially you saying that, like, you know, women aren't capable of commanding the same kind of power in our communication skills as men.
I'm not saying that at all. Women certainly can. For me, personally, whenever, like, I'm called a bitch, I feel very threatened just because it's such a hate-filled word.
Okay, so like maybe the intent seems a lot more intimidating than
very much so.
Like being called a dick.
Okay, little girl, I could break you in half. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but if a guy's like calling me a bitch and he's in my face and like there's like a yelling situation going on, it is so different than me being like, "You dick," you know, stomp on your toe.
Because there's a line.
Like men can fuck women up.
They can.
And
unless,
they do.
Unless you're Ronda Rousey. I dare to watch a man try and fuck up Ronda Rousey. That chick will rip your arm out of its socket and beat you.
I'm not saying there aren't women out there that can handle their shit physically, because there certainly are. I do not happen to be one of them. And I don't think I look like the type that can, you know.
Well, I know what you mean though, because it is weird when that stuff happens and you're aware of it, and it feels very strange, very tense, because there's a line of decorum that, you know, I think your average nice guy will keep.
Yes. Even with yes. people he it disagrees says a with. Lot about a man. A yeah, man that yeah. ever calls a girl a bitch.
Yeah.
Ever, no matter how mad he gets, if he can abstain from doing that, like, that's a good man.
Yeah. Because it's not that he called her a bitch that he's going to punch her, but the guys who tend to call women bitches
are the guys that fucking actually get physical. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see exactly what you're talking
Thank
about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool.
But no, I'm just kidding. It's what was the story with I'm sorry, I lost.
No,
my
you were hearing
thought.
you were listening to these people talk and you were having a hard time writing jokes.
Oh, and so like in the next morning I was just like, ugh, it is so not okay. Mm-hmm. And so instead like I switched from like funny writing mode just to like, you know, indignant, like outraged and like serious. Like seriously, mm-hmm. guys, like don't you can't do it. You can't do it. Like that you're a bad guy. If you ever call your girlfriend a bitch, you were a bad guy. I'm sorry, but you are. Like you tend to be somebody that like is going to be unfaithful.
Right.
Because it's so dehumanizing. And like you can justify that cognitive dissonance in your head
sure.
so much more if you don't think of the person that you're lying to or cheating on like isn't a person. Isn't a, like you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
not gender neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody can be an asshole, but I mean, when you call somebody, you know, a penis or you call somebody, you know, a bitch or something like a cunt, whatever it may be, like you're not only, you know, attacking them as a person, but you're degrading their gender.
Yeah, you're degrading, you're reducing them to just a pussy.
That's why right. I hate those Euro languages like German and, you know, like you have, you know, female and male equivalents attached to like weird words like chair will be like male and you know door will be female and it still persists in all these weird elements of our culture
mm-hmm.
and it's weird when you're like aware of it because mm-hmm. you can't just call a woman a bitch obviously without having you know that weird gender bias attached to it
right
it's and nobody really talks about that
yeah and It's always fun, like, the last relationship I had where I was called a bitch, like, I would start calling him a bitch, and I'd really draw it out, and I'd be like, whatever, bitch. And, like, he hated it. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you don't fucking like it, do you?
Yeah.
You bitch. You little bitch. And he's like, oh, stop. And I'm like, yeah, it sucks, doesn't it, bitch?
Yeah, when a dude gets called a bitch, his cock shrinks. Like just a little
as it should because whenever
it doesn't feel good for us because it's it has its intended effect takes our
and guess what
away.
We feel that too
yeah
it takes like our humanity away
exactly you ever been called a bitch Brad
oh yeah oh yeah
you didn't like well, it did you
no besides, it doesn't feel good
besides by me
no just okay. you no. just you right. no it doesn't feel good but I think that there's also something to be said for just being in a relationship where you feel as though you need to use venom in your voice to get across your point means two things. It means that you're not being patient enough with the other person, and the other person isn't listening.
Right.
Usually, that's usually a combination of the two.
Yeah.
And so, like, you just need to work on your communication skills, and then you won't. There will be no bitches in the house because everybody will be on equal footing.
Right.
Everybody will be
communication
happy
is important.
Well, if everybody listened to sound logic and salient points, then we'd be in a very different situation.
It's true. Very different situation.
But like a good relationship is one where, because men and women communicate different, they just do.
Yep.
And a good relationship is one where both people are driving towards progress, trying to understand the way that the other one communicates, rather than just like throwing your hands up and being like, "You're fucking stupid! Like you don't understand," you know.
Well, you know, you have to learn that language.
Yeah,
or at least
like
part of it.
You know what? Do you love me? Do you care? Then you need to try and listen to what I'm saying because I'm communicating with you the way I communicate. And it's like if you can just shut up and like listen and try. You know,
well, and,
you can get to that point.
There's multiple layers, though, of a human
Both
relationship.
Both people.
True.
Because there's what you're communicating, but there's also what you're trying to hide and what you're trying to, you know, kind of put out there. And that's, I think that's a problem I have a lot of times with certain people that you come in contact with. You communicate with them, and you don't feel like you're getting, you know, unbridled honesty. You feel like you're getting filtered information.
Right.
And I think that can sometimes lead to a huge miscommunication. So, like, you know, whether you're being honest or not, like, there's here's a situation where it's like, this person's not exactly being forthcoming in who they really are. They're mm-hmm. trying to, like I said,
yeah, manipulate.
Yeah, manipulate a situation in order to be on the victorious side of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't... It
everything is always about having the upper hand. It's just, like, inherent... Yeah, inherent in human nature. It's so weird.
Isn't it a weird thing?
Yeah.
That there has to be this ape on the highest branch in any situation?
Yeah.
It's just...
We were hanging out.
I can't believe we still hold on to that.
Yeah.
We don't need it anymore.
I mean, we were hanging out with somebody the other night who was... It was like you were looking into her eyes, and everything she said, it was like she was scoring points in her own head. Like, she was trying to win the conversation. Like, everything you would say, she'd be like, oh, I know how I can, you know, relate all of that back to me.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, what? Can you not just, you know, can we not just have a back and forth?
Yeah.
Like, you're not winning a trophy at the end of the night.
Yeah, I went on a date with a guy that was exactly like that recently.
Really? How did that go?
I really left. Like, the chick brought the tab over, and I was like, all right, I'm paying for my drinks. Bye. Peace out.
Quick.
I mean, I'd been trying for an hour to, like, have some kind of a conversation with him, and... Right. I mean, it was so boring how much he was talking about himself. It was like, I really couldn't even tell you, like, I was just zoning out. I was just like,
He thought so much of himself that he felt that you would be impressed.
Well, it was so weird, because, like, he was really hot, but he was, like, so ugly by the end of the night. I was just ew.
Was he always good looking?
Yeah. That's probably why.
Yeah, in my experience, if you've always been good looking, oftentimes you've never had to develop social skills and you've never really experienced, like, immense loss because of something that you couldn't control and just constantly just being shit on by life.
Yeah.
Because ugly people get that. Yeah. That's what happens to ugly people. But some ugly people grow up and they become good looking people. But they've developed those social skills. So
right.
That's kind of a strange thing that happens.
Here's a quick lesson for you.
He did exactly what you're talking about, though. Like, how can I relate all this back to me?
Right.
And he wouldn't even answer my questions. Like, I was like, so where did you grow up? And it was like,
yeah,
this, like, just, you know, back and forth. Like, he didn't want to know anything about me. And I was like, I mean, that's fine. Like, I like learning about other people because I already know everything about me. But right. The fact that, like, I can't. Like, why am I even here?
Yeah, you're not...
I'm not here to, like, admire you.
You might as well have been a mirror at that point.
Yeah, that's how it felt. And then, like, he texted me on my way home, and he was like, wow, I don't know what happened there. Like, geez, I hope you have a good night. And I was just like, do you want to know?
Yeah.
You should tell him.
Are you interested?
He needs to know that.
No, he was like, he's like, doesn't matter anymore.
Because he's obviously never told himself that. Someone needs to tell them that.
Yeah. Here's a lesson I learned a long time ago, kids. Anybody who's sad or lonely or feels like they don't have enough friends in their life, whenever you meet a new person and you have that urge to talk nothing about yourself, ask the other person about themselves.
Yeah.
People love that for some reason.
The things that you want to tell that other person about you, ask them that question to try and get that same information from them.
I mean, honestly, and it helps to not think that, you know, you're the center of the universe either, because I'm not a very interesting person. Most people who aren't me tend to be 100% more interesting. So I'd rather listen to their story than mine.
Yeah. I'm a middle child, so I'm fully aware that I'm not the center of attention. Like, yeah. I very much, like, have that embedded in my thinking. Like, I am not the center of the universe.
Martian.
I am not the center of the universe at all. And I think the more accepting you are of that, the better...
I try and instill
kinds
that
of relationships that you can have.
I try and instill that in my kids.
But when I ask people about them, like, I genuinely, like, and I mean this, I'm very curious. I do want to know.
Yes.
I like understanding people and getting to know them, and I like knowing what kind of music they like, and, you know.
I like how, to bring it back, I like how the Denver, just scene in general, music, comedy, art, is all very accessible.
Yeah.
For that reason. Like, you can go and talk to these people and, like, kind of get involved in, like, who they actually are and meet all kinds of interesting characters and have a really good time, as opposed to, like, you know, feeling like it's so, oh, they're, you know, they're on stage and so far away, and I'm just, you know, this person. It's like, I felt really comfortable.
Yeah, connected.
You know, just connecting to, the, like, this whole scene that we have going on in Denver right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, inner circles, and, like, there's a lot of love and sharing of that kind of art.
Absolutely. Feels really cool.
That was the cheesiest thing I will say. I will not say anything dorkier.
There's a lot of love, you guys. There's a lot of love. Everybody's really nice.
But
and everybody's hard. Really talented, and it's just like this crazy renaissance of expression going on. And I love that.
Touring comics are weirded out by it. Christopher Titus told me it was weird. He's like, you guys fucking have picnics and go play football together?
Yeah. Like,
you're supposed to be at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and like, there's definitely healthy doses of competitiveness.
But it's all healthy.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that for the most part people are backstabby or, and like, everyone's really supportive of people's success, you know, like there were so many comedians that went to Illegal Pete's to watch Adam Kane Holland on
Conan. Which he did well.
I didn't catch that,
but everybody was like really into, like, they're like, good for him, you know, like, success for one of us is success for us, like, in a way. You know,
high,
like,
tide raises all boats.
And I think everybody's really genuinely, like, supportive like that.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of exciting that, you know, there is something happening locally that doesn't require that giant leap to, like, an L.A. or New York or wherever it is. Like, people are finding success. Like, Ben Roy, I mean, he's fucking blowing the fuck up. And his home base is here. He's not, you know, moving all of his family and everything to... Oh, Jesus Christ.
I asked Ben if I would, like, when he came out on the cover of the Westward, I was like, will you sign my copy? He was like, no. He's like, go fuck yourself. If you want to prove you know me, you could just call me. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Another comic gave me an autographed copy of that Westward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just put it up in my closet somewhere. But yeah, everybody's accessible and friendly. We're all going camping.
Yeah,
that'll be cool.
We'll see. Last time we went camping, it was quite an adventure.
I get weirded out by chaotic situations, so
I'm nervous. It wasn't as chaotic as I thought it was going to be, because I think the group was small enough, and like Ben Adams cut up steak and potatoes and like made turtles for everybody.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really awesome. Everybody was like communal, helping with carrying everything, and kind of relaxed for comedians anyway. It wasn't as rowdy and crazy as you would think.
We don't get very crazy.
Yeah, when we're all together, we just all kind of like sit around and are cynical and make each other laugh with dark jokes.
Pretty much it. Hanging out with like-minded people. It's fun.
Yeah.
Lots of those.
I never felt like I actually ever belonged to any group ever. You know, like even in high school.
Yeah.
Like I just had like different groups, but when I started doing comedy in town, I was just like, oh, these are my people.
Right.
Now I get it. Now I understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
I've heard other people say similar things. Was that your experience?
That's totally my experience, and that's kind of the common sentiment that I get from everybody that I've asked about it.
And I still feel like an outsider, but I also feel
you are.
Those are still my people.
I mean, like, I'm an outsider in the degree where, like, I have a family.
Yeah, I live in Aurora.
Yeah, I live really far away. I have a family that I have to be with, and I have a full-time job. So I can't, like, live in Mouth House.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't hang out in a commune and just kind of everything be all right.
I like living vicariously through stories and stuff, though. I'm like, and then what happened? Wow. What's that like to be a kid again?
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, it's kind of a very singular direction, though, as far as, like, if you're taking this as a career, like, at some point, I mean, you're in it for yourself. The community is great, but you have to, like, keep pushing yourself. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that respect that, while at the same time, you know, allowing yourself to be, like, cool with everybody and hang out and go fucking fly kites and whatever it is you comics do.
Football.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet.
Yeah, we totally did do that.
Oh,
we weren't there.
I didn't check.
You
stats on
you
that.
RSVP'd on the Facebook.
Did I?
Invite, you sure did.
Oh.
I was like, I was like scrolling through who's going to be there. Like, cool, Jody's going to be there. Jen Krzyzewska's going to be there. Kristen Rand's going to be there.
And then none of us came.
Jordan Dahl's going to be there. Like, yeah, nobody came.
we're all like, we know what we support what you do. I already forgot the date.
I couldn't just click like, so.
I bet that, like, that whenever you guys did it, it was probably like none of us were actually doing anything, and we just probably didn't know.
Yeah.
That is so us. Oh my god, you guys, that is so us. That is so like us to do that.
Do you have any shows coming up?
Yeah, I'm at Comedy Works New Talent Night on Tuesday. And
what's Tuesday?
Tuesday is New Talent Night.
No, I mean the date.
Oh, May 28th.
I think so.
I think.
Cool. In and around there, within a day or two.
Yeah, sure. You know, right. The next Tuesday that happens, it's that Tuesday, and then I'm featuring for Mitch Fatale at the Improv.
Fuck, who's Mitch Fatale?
I love
Mitch
Fatale.
He's the guy that like panties. Oh my god.
I don't think I've ever heard him.
Oh, he's really fucking funny.
Would love him.
He's funny. Yeah, you should come. You should come. Okay. I'll get you a guest set on one of the nights. Well, I can ask anyway.
Yeah.
You can have some of my time.
If you, yeah. I'd be happy to do that.
If it's up to me.
Yeah. If you are able to swing that, I'd love to do that. Either way, I'd like to come.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth watching. He and Lisa Landry were two comics that I saw on Comedy Central right before I started doing stand-up, and right before it wasn't really a gradual thing. I would just like watch them and admire. I'd be like, oh my god, that's so great. They're so good. That's so funny. And then like without longing to do it or anything. And then just like all of a sudden I was like, I'm going to fucking start doing stand-up. I'm going to do it because I have this opportunity. So
how long have you been kind of a fan of stand-up?
Oh.
Do you remember when you first heard it?
Forever. Actually, the first... Yeah, I do. I was in my dad's car, and he was taking me to chorale practice because I was cool.
What's chorale?
Like Colorado Children's Chorale. It was actually...
I don't know what that is.
It was... It's a chorale. It's a Colorado Children's Chorale in Colorado.
They have a pen set up, and
yeah, that's what I'm thinking of when you say chorale.
No, like, we do... They acquire, and we would sing. We would sing, and we would tour, and we would, like, every Christmas, we would accompany the Colorado Symphony Orchestra.
Cool.
So, like, a really good, like, hardcore Nazi children's choir.
Do you still sing?
I do, just to my son, mostly. I've taken my guitar up on stage a couple times, and I used to do, like, a parody of Jesus Take the Wheel.
Yeah.
And it was about, like, everything in my life was so fucked up. Like, I was, like, living in my sister's basement, and, like, I'd lost my job, and, like, the basement flooded. And like,
it's a country song right there.
And like, and I had just like left a bad marriage, and it was, and I was, yeah. So I was like, if life was, if my life was a country song, like my life is like a country song, I don't have a dog or a truck or a man, but if I did, they'd all be dead. And the parody was, I called it, Jesus, give me back the wheel. You're drunk. Like,
that's hilarious. That's exactly what I was. That's the same vein that I was thinking.
Yeah,
I want to hear that.
Like, because you're driving like a drunken teenage white girl. Seriously, pull over, take power nap. Because no, it's not working out. Everything's going pretty bad. But then I decided that I really just wanted to be a stronger stand-up first, and I kind of put it down for a while. And I didn't want to be like a parody song comedian. So. Works more on the arty part.
How do you feel like you're doing with that?
It's up and down, you know? It's up and down. I think that I've, my writing has become a lot riskier lately. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been talking about, just like I was saying earlier, like, grosser things, things that I think are amusing and true. I did a new joke at Three Kings about the phrase vanity karma, and I would describe it as like laying in a tanning bed that has like a fan at the end, like at the feet, and then farting, and it like just like.
That's gotta be a horrible sensation. You're being slow roasted and dealing with your own gases.
Trapped in a neon prison.
And it's like, oh. Uh-huh, and I did that to myself. I just did that just now. And, but, you know, like, it just, it came right back at me. And,
There's no ventilation. It's just kind of hang out here for a while.
And it's right there now. And I did that to myself.
I for sure thought you were going to go the skin cancer thing.
But that's the thing is, like, I'm getting skin cancer because, yeah. No, I actually started tanning because it helps with acne. I've had, like, just, like, bizarre, like, emotionally crippling adult acne. Like, I never had it when I was a teenager or anything. So someone was like, you should go tanning because that'll help. And I was like, yeah. And it kind of does, but not, like, as much as I'd want. But I just, like, end up going because I bought a package. And, yeah.
That's, well...
Yeah.
I can't tan.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
That's a shocker. You don't tan, you freckle.
I just get pink. Like, that's all that happens. Like, there's no... And they'll be like, look, I'm tan. And people will be like, no, you're not. You're sunburned. No, that's... No, it's pink. See, look, it doesn't hurt. I can slap it, right? No, it does look... This is tan for me.
It does look good. Guts is good.
A nice Scottish tan.
Yeah. Fuck, my people are not from sunlight.
Are you Scottish or are you Irish?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm and a Scottish. Bunch of other...
What's your clan?
Eastern European shit. Gun.
Gun. Mine is Clan McFarlane.
McFarlane.
McFarlane. We've got, like, a dude shirtless... like circled with a belt and he's like holding a beer, like that's our sigil.
Ours is it's a hand holding a knife
with, oh, I've
with
seen
a belt
yours.
Around it. It says El Pluribus El Plurum or something like that, but it means in either peace or war.
Oh wow.
They were a war clan.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Buchanan.
Okay. Is that yours?
Yeah, Buchanan.
Wow, look at us, a bunch of fucking Scots sitting around.
That's right, God. Drinking beer.
Where's my goddamn haggis and my shepherd's pie?
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
It's crap.
It's crap.
I really can't do a good Scottish accent.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. I
can do an Irish accent. I can't do a Scottish
accent. I love you. I always have.
Hey. Hi. I can do hoi-toi-toi. It's a nice fine day.
Have you ever drinking with an Irishman?
Oh, yeah. And I've drank in with Scotsmen, too.
Did you start to speak in a Scottish accent?
I love that fucking show.
Hey, another round for me and my boys, eh?
Yeah, you know that one Chandler? He's here a little fancy pants, you know. He's a little bit light in the loafers. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that reminds me. Have you ever heard the joke about Seamus the Fence Builder?
No.
I don't know if I should tell it.
We can't do it on the podcast. Joke, no.
Look it up. Paul McCartney does it's a fantastic joke. Version on YouTube.
No shit.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney does the Seamus joke. I don't know.
Oh, cool. I don't know if I'll have to look Seamus, that up. I'll have to look,
yeah, look that up.
Joke.
It's live.
We'll check it out after we're done recording. Yeah. How long have you been doing stand-up?
5 years. 5 years now.
How far do you feel that you have gone from, like, year one? Because I'm at, like... I ask because, like, I'm at year two.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've progressed a lot.
But
there's like,
you
I'm closer to knowing who I am.
Yeah.
But that's
finding
that's
your voice
about
is,
it.
Like, a decade process, I think. Comedy is such a long game.
Yeah.
And where do I feel like I'm at? I don't know. I definitely feel like I'm more myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll say that. I think that if I watched any videos of myself in the first 2 years, it just, like, oh, God. Like,
it's hard to watch.
Cringe.
It's hard to watch.
Cringe. Ugh. Like, it's like a nightmare that I have, like, watching. Oh, God. Yeah.
Just like,
I think I've gotten better, I'll say that.
I watched myself on stage from a year ago, and I'm just like, I am so full of shit.
Yeah, like, shut the fuck up. You are doing that so bad. Are you trying to do it bad? You should know better. What is wrong with you? Just I'm tearing yourself apart watching it. Like, Oh, and then you say, You say, again, motherfucker. Oh, my God.
Say, one more time.
I double dog. I triple dog. Damn, you motherfucker.
Shoot the fucking television with a gun. This show ain't no good. That was crap. That was crap.
It's crap. It's not Scottish. It's crap. Yeah, I,
You're going with me, are you? We should just try and do the rest of the podcast and Braveheart quotes.
I tried to sell somebody a washer once doing Christopher Walken. The whole time. It's not even good.
Oh my God.
Like, it's not even a good impression.
Nobody can really do a good Christopher Walken.
I've heard a couple of good ones.
You know, this washer.
I like
clean your clothes.
My favorite fucking Saturday Night Live sketch of all time is just Christopher Walken. It's just him. Yeah. Like, that's the whole sketch. And it's him as, he sells plants. And he's explaining, like, how to put googly eyes on all of your plants. So that, like, I know that these aren't real eyes. But I like to be able to look into the eyes of the plant. And he, like, sprinkles googly eyes in the grass. He's like, I couldn't find a way to glue the eyes on each blade of grass, so I just like to sprinkle them. And
I've never seen that one. That's
it's like how to put googly eyes on plants. It was awesome. So stupid, and I fucking love it.
Jesus Christ. What a singular character. That's it doesn't it blow you away anytime you like you meet somebody in real life who's like that unique. It's like you're your fucking own person entirely. Like, there's no one like you on earth.
Yeah.
I love those types of people.
Have you ever met somebody like that?
Yeah, here and there. Like, a couple of homeless people stick out.
You are unique. Yeah. And that is why that is your name.
Very much so. Yo, my name's Unique. Spell it UNIQEZW4.
And that is why you are named such. You are named as such. You are Unique.
Good luck finding a job.
Aw.
Yeah.
Poor Unique.
That's such a sad situation where people name their kids these fucked up names. And you asshole, like, you're setting your child up for failure. You're not even trying anymore. You're trying to make sure that they're an individual, but you can't be completely an individual. You have to participate in society, right? Like, we gotta be part of this fucking thing. You don't really have much of a choice.
Just being, you know, rare for the sake of being rare, it's not always good.
No.
I mean, imagine...
It's seldom good.
I imagine...
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine chicken eggs taste way better than ostrich eggs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right?
Did your son do field day?
He did.
What'd you think of field day?
I was so proud of him. Yeah. I can show you a video on my phone. He, his dad and I are, like, we're friendly, but we don't, like, ever do anything mm-hmm. together. But, like, and both of his parents were there because we both, like, agreed that, like, we were going to go and watch him do, like, events and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was this one where you throw the ball at the cage thing and it like drops your teacher into water.
Oh, cool.
And he's in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And fifth graders like couldn't get their own teacher and like they would just give up and then like go and push it, you know? And so they put up his teacher last and like on his second throw just dunk and I was just like, nice. What? Yeah. What? And oh, like, yeah. And it was awesome because he was like, we both were there to watch it, and we both saw him succeed at doing something, and it was like, and he was such a badass, like, the way he high-fived his friend, he's like, yeah, what's up, Mom and Dad, did you just see what I did? And we were so proud of him, it was great.
My kid won the sack race, and he was really excited after that.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was really proud of himself.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I make sure to try and be there for all those things.
Yeah, so I actually missed the other field day events because I'm a bad mom.
No.
No, I called the school. Well, I
but
mean...
But no, just leave it there.
I could have gone.
just leave it there, Jody.
Okay.
I gave you an out. So did
the kids? No, you're fine. No, I'm actually not, Brad. And here's why. Shut up, Jody.
Do kids still place? Or do they all just get
That's
general?
So lame. Mine don't. That's so lame. Yeah, Jack just had like a green ribbon. Like, I was like,
what the fuck?
What the fuck? I was like, you didn't get any blue ones? Like, what? And he's like, everybody got a green ribbon. I was like, that's stupid. I have so many cool like blue ribbons from field day. I was really proud of them.
My oldest daughter, we went to this
and
station.
Now I can't do
it's like they have recess.
They have different stations, right? Well, it's supposed to be kind of like track and field. You know, you compete a little bit. It's fun for everybody. Everybody has a good time. Yeah. Or at least that's what it was like when I was a kid.
Right.
And we went to this. They have different stations, right, where they do like races or balancing. Then we went to the station, and there was. I was really excited when I got there because I wanted to see what the game was because there was a hula hoop, and some bubbles, and chalk and jump ropes, and I thought maybe they would make like some sort of really cool game that I could never think how to put all these different components together, and nope, they just colored with chalk and blue bubbles and
oh man, what the fuck.
And my oldest daughter sat down next to me and I told her, I was like, you know, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And she goes, why do you say that, Daddy? I was like, because nobody's competing.
Yeah.
And she goes, what do you mean? I said, somebody has to lose.
Yeah.
Somebody has to win. And somebody has to lose.
Yeah.
Like, that's important.
Somebody has to be the best.
That's life.
Somebody has to be the worst.
And she's like, Daddy, why is losing important? I was like, oh, Jesus. All right. Losing is... And then I just went down the whole spiel, but it really frustrated me that there's just no emphasis put on, like, competing and trying to do better than everybody else. Like, it's just, hey, guys, let's just kind of push you, you know, through this fucking meat grinder cattle of elementary shoot, school.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, you know, you all come out the same. It's all good.
That's what it is. It's a cattle shoot. I'm glad your daughter's asking the right questions, and this is why. Why the fuck do we live in a society that puts absolutely no value on teaching our kids, like, real legitimate life skills? When's the last time
you... weaving.
Like, okay.
Like, why, how to defend yourself?
Why is it in home ec? Home economics. Economics, we learn how to bake cakes.
Yeah.
And not how to do our taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? You explain to me. I mean, have you had conversations like that with your teachers? Like, what is going on?
We all learned how to make a lemon meringue pie. You could have showed us how to, I don't know, like, put up drywall. Or, like, repair plumbing.
How to build a budget for your house.
Yeah.
How to, like, you know, when you get paid, you don't go blow all your fucking money on Xboxes like I did from age 17 to fucking 28.
Yeah.
How old are you now? 27.
Give me a month. Give me the break of a month. Come on.
Yeah, I have the same issue. My parents didn't teach me shit.
Yeah, My little brother knows how to do everything, though. That's what pisses me off, is I'm like, how do you know? He's like, Dad taught me. I'm like, fuck! Like, why didn't Dad teach me? And I think maybe it was just like, you know, I didn't, like, ask him to teach me anything, because I'd probably have been like, meh.
What's the problem with everything that we have to seek out on our own as far as education? The shit that gets shoved down our throats at age, like, 7 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, why? Okay, in high school, why did I take chemistry?
Yeah.
Why? I'm a graphic designer. Why did I take chemistry?
What if you wanted to be a chemist?
Wanted to take chemistry.
Not if you had never taken it before. And
you gotta try it. You gotta try it to know.
But you should only have to take one semester or one quarter of it. Just, like, give it a shot.
Yeah.
I would have loved to take bank accounts 101.
You can find, like, hidden talents and interests that you would never otherwise, like, have any reason to seek out.
All right, how many people who took chemistry in the history of people taking chemistry have used chemistry?
All of the chemists in the world.
Yeah.
And a couple of meth cooks.
And alchemists.
Yeah.
Well, let's call them meth cooks alchemists.
So let them take chemistry. Why do I have to take it? Why have to be forced to, like, waste my time pursuing this weird subject that I'm never going to touch?
You've got no footing here, buddy.
I'm sorry?
You've got no footing here.
Speaking of meth cooks.
How about P.E.?
What season is the season that... Have you guys watched it?
No.
Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
I'm so far behind, it's...
Oh, okay, then never mind. I can't ask.
I was so pissed off. I walked into a store today, and they were screening, like, the middle of the latest season of Arrested Development. So I had to just, like, plug my ears and, like, just scream to myself while I was, you know,
it's because all the nerds at that place wanted so bad to watch it, but they had to work on a Sunday.
I know, but goddamn it, it's like there's people walking into your store, man. It's like, let me get to it on my own.
Yeah,
it's not like you have to buy it.
The show's funny, but, like, when I see it, when it's on, I'm like, haha, it's funny, it's good. But it's not something I'm like, I want to see more of this now. I have to see every episode.
It's a binge watching experience. It's
you can only watch, like all of it at once.
And it's packed full of these, like, you know, these jokes that reference different parts of the season. And,
yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things. If you plop somebody in right in the middle of it, they're not gonna laugh.
Yeah, I like doing that with HBO shows.
And watching from the middle.
No, like like if I know the next season is about to come up, I'm like, it's probably good.
Yeah.
So I'll start watching it and, like, time it so that right when I get done watching what's available, I'll be like, and now the next season. I'm into it.
So far, I haven't met anybody who doesn't like Game of Thrones.
It's pretty great.
It's
pretty goddamn great.
It's incredible.
Jesus Christ.
That's my my online dating profile name, Stormborn. Stormborn 5280.
I want so bad to be Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
But Jon Snow can probably tan.
He's pretty pasty. You got to keep in mind he's from the north.
He's from the highlands.
He's pretty pasty.
Bastard child. Made star.
But acting is so good in it. Acting is amazing. So good. And the way that the story ties everything together at the end, like always, whatever the name of the episode is, like every, it's really well done story.
Every character you want to see nude ends up being nude at some point.
And I like that about it.
Yeah.
And
Jon Snow.
Yeah. You know nothing, Jon Snow. I'm going to see your boobies. I know that I am because I've read the books.
We're going to jump in this freezing cold waterfall now.
That's sex. That's what I was thinking. I was like, are you kidding me? That's runoff from a glacier. What
are you doing? I can't get anything going on down here.
Still, that's just like, all right. And that is why I watch the show.
It's true.
They are fucking under a glacier.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't even turned off by the fact that the incest thing was going on right at the beginning of it. I was like,
you know what? They're fucking people. In a castle. Yeah. Good for them. Yeah. Good for them.
They're in a tower. They're both very attractive.
They got to throw a child off of a tower. They are
very attractive twin brother and sister. And you know what? I will watch them fuck.
The two greatest actors that were in that show got killed off immediately in the first season.
So I know.
I was
bummed.
I was like, ah.
My favorite character is Tyrion Lannister.
That's everybody's favorite.
But I love Robert. So totally. Robert Baratheon.
Yeah,
was my favorite.
I was a big fan. My favorite character, and he will eventually become one of you guys' favorite characters, is Jaime.
Yeah.
I can see that happening. I'm already kind of like, you know what? He seems like he's gone through some shit, like, and he knows kind of what's going on now.
Well, I mean, like, and you understand so many other different motivations for everything that he does, and you realize, like, he's one of those characters that is more gray and, like, being, you know what I mean? Like, you think he's bad guy. Yeah. And then you're like, wait, no, not so much. And, like, you find out more and more, and you're just like, okay, no, he's actually one of the most moral people in like this whole series.
Yeah. Well, everybody's moral code is fairly ambiguous.
Yeah.
That's why it's like the slow revealing of like, here's a fucked up situation. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah. What would you do?
Yeah.
Like how right or wrong would you
probably
be?
Probably cry.
Like even, and they show like everybody's so flawed, you know, like when Rob cuts the guy's head off and.
Oh yeah. That was.
And everyone's like, don't do it, dude. Don't do it. And it's like the first really bad fuck up. And because he's been like on a winning streak. Yeah, it's a really good story.
I know we're getting into like a fanboy like Game of Thrones.
Who gives a shit?
But that's fun. I can't wrap
our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about.
If you don't want to listen to it, don't listen.
Just kidding. For three episodes, we've been dicked around with what's happening with the Greyjoy kid. And I
know
can't
what's
figure
going
it out.
On with him.
I know because
you've read.
I've read the books.
I just want to. Yeah, I want to know so bad.
I think.
Like, why are these people
does that
doing
to do with
this?
Those kids he burned up?
Just. Do you want me to answer that?
No, I don't.
I do, but I don't.
Okay.
Answer it tonight.
Yeah. Am I going to find out tonight? Maybe.
If they don't answer it tonight, I'll call you tomorrow.
You know what? I don't think they're going to answer it tonight.
I'll call you tomorrow.
It's going to be a huge surprise.
I mean, do you want me to answer that?
Yeah. Yes and no.
Because everybody, I can't answer that without giving too much away.
Okay.
So.
Well, we'll drop it at that because I like being surprised and I don't like reading, so.
So, dude, I really like watching the show. Like, they are doing such a good job at,
adhering
like, picking, at picking what is important for, like, further storytelling.
Right.
Because the way that he writes is kind of, it's frustrating because it's like, okay, like, I get it, get to the fucking point. Like, you know?
Right. I've had the same criticism of J.R. Tolkien. But people have told me about the Martin series is there's a lot of characters.
A fuck ton of characters.
And the ones you see in the show.
And he develops all of them so, like, thoroughly.
Right.
Like Stephen King?
Yeah, and that's why the story is so good is because there's so much, like, investment that you have in the characters.
But I've heard that there are some characters in the show that don't necessarily have the significance and or the dialogue that they do in the books. Like, they've added dialogue to certain characters in the show. Just, like, Littlefinger's main girl, the red hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, she's like an amalgamation of a bunch of different...
That's exactly what I was going to say next. Yes, you're right. She's not a character. Oh. But she is a really good tool.
Right.
To, like, use to show all of this other background stuff that you wouldn't be able to translate from...
See, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and that was very clever on their part to, like, you know what? How about if we just follow a whore from Winterfell to King's Landing and, like, we can tell the backstory that we need to through her. And... Like, and it does everything so well. Like, you find out that Littlefinger is actually a really bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, you find out... Fuck that guy. You find out... Well, I mean, at least that's what you know so far.
Well,
but yeah. But it shows also, like, just how, like, vicious Joffrey is or can be or will be.
He's becoming.
Yeah, like, just this fucking monster. And it also gives you the background between, like, Varys and Littlefinger and, like... All of the stuff that you wouldn't be able to translate without it being really tedious to watch.
They've done such a good job of creating an anxiety about the next episode or, you know, what's happening next in the story, because you want things to happen so quickly. You want the kids to get back to the Starks. You want Arya to find her parents again. You want, you know...
I will say this. Arya, her story in the books is the one that I'm most into. Because the way that he writes the books is just chapters of people, of the different characters. So, like, I can't wait to get to the Arya chapter, because what she goes through and what she does is, like, the most fascinating and interesting. And there's, like, all this different kind of magic in it, and he does a really good job of creating that world in your head where, like, it's not just one kind of magic, it's not just one god. You know, it's like there's all these different kinds of magic, and like, and he knows like the whole history of like why he goes into it and like how the magic started and where it came from, and like.
See, I think that's what I'm missing by not reading the books.
That's why I think it's worth it if you're really into the story, you would appreciate the books. Mm. I will say that. Do you have an opener? I do, but I don't want to rattle my keys.
You twist it.
Oh,
it's a twister.
I know. Knew that. Yeah. I knew it.
It's a twister. Trying to figure out if there's anything else I wanted to cover.
This is... Wow.
The wind's kicking up. We're going to get a twister.
Uh-huh.
In here,
sounds
I think.
Sounds pretty nice, actually.
Yeah. There's going to be a tornado.
Uh-huh. You already plugged the stuff that I have coming up.
Yep.
You
can plug it again if you want.
That again, because you're featuring for Mitch Vitale at the Improv. What was the date on that?
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
Thursday through Sunday. So every night next weekend, Thursday through Sunday, which is the 30th. So May 30th through June 2nd.
Cool.
At the Improv.
Yeah, go check that out.
So when we call for tickets, can we say I champion for Jody Champion?
No, if you guys want comps, I mean, you can walk in because you're a comic. But
they don't know me.
Al
knew me, but they don't know me anymore.
No, it's just like text me when you're there. I'll get you in.
Okay.
Don't pay.
Okay.
And then Comedy Works Tuesday. Just new talent in Nate.
Are you doing the New Faces contest?
Yep.
Do you know what day you're on yet?
I do not. I didn't want to do, like, it's just such a weird name for a competition when I don't feel like I'm a new face at all. But Deacon says, you know, like, stage time is stage time, and until you are, like, promoted in any way, like, you should just keep running the gamut, so I'm doing that.
Good. Yeah, keep doing that.
Hmm.
I'll be at Boulder Beer Garden on June 9th.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's my son's birthday.
I'm excited to do that.
What is it?
Mine's June 10th.
That's awesome.
That sounds like a cool place. Never heard of that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds fucking great. I mean, I like gardens. I like beer.
Right?
Garden.
I would like to go to one that had both.
Well, come up to Boulder.
Okay.
It's Chuck Roy's show.
Oh, okay. Cool. So
it should be fun.
What's it called?
Big Old Bear.
What's the name of the show?
I don't remember.
that's what we're going to call it.
Like,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know's on third.
I don't know. Hopefully Chuck Roy doesn't hear this and think that I'm being an asshole for not remembering the name of the show. Got too much going on, Chuck. Too much going on.
I'm sure that Chuck Roy is not listening to this podcast.
Hopefully one of the 12 people that listen to this isn't Chuck Roy. Yeah.
Yep.
I think
our
odds
are pretty good.
Even if someone's like, they mention you, he's going to be like, I don't give a fuck.
Brad, who now?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that for now. I'm trying to get back to writing and like developing new material before I keep booking showcases and doing the same shit.
Yeah.
It becomes a distraction after a point.
Yeah, I've had a lot of shit go down in the last 6 months, so I kind of am still drawing from that goldmine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gotten like 20 new minutes, like workable minutes since December, so.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that. For anybody that is hearing that, that's actually a lot of time in a short amount of time to have that you know works.
Well, people like now anymore, I think, relate that it seems like most of the major comics are doing a new hour every year. But what people don't remember is that those are people that are, they work at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going out oftentimes 3 to 5 times a week,
mm-hmm.
but they're only working for 2 or 3 hours at a time because they're only at the club for 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
And then they have all this time to write, and they've been doing it for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So, like, it just kind of flows out of them.
Yeah.
20 minutes is a lot in 6 months, so
good for you. Yeah. I guess that's what I was maybe like between 15 and 20, but still. I think like even 10 new minutes in that short amount of time. And that never happens to me, ever. But, you know.
Where do you feel that you typically. Do you feel like when you're writing material that you have material in your head that you're just trying to get out? Or do you feel as though
I feel like
you
the
catch
pen
a spark and kind of go?
And I know that that is the case because for me, I have to surrender to it.
Yeah.
And that usually sucks because that almost always is at like 3 in the morning.
Right.
When I really just need to be sleeping.
Mine's when
but I'm like, I have to get this out of my brain and onto paper now because if I don't do that, like I'm missing that. And I know I have to get it out. So I'll be like, till 4 in the morning, I'll be like, okay, and I think... And then I'll think of other things along the way. Like, I have to just go with myself, and that sucks because I feel like I'm not even in control. I mean, I could just ignore it and try to suppress it, but that's just not how I write.
Yesterday, I was driving in the car, and I thought of a really good bit or a premise or something. And I was going, you know how, like, you'll visualize yourself talking to an audience
and
tell a joke inside of your head?
Right.
And kind of
like, I'm
going to
say it like
of,
this, and then I'll say it in this cadence, and you have it so well played out in your head.
And then if you don't write it down, you forget it, and then it's gone forever.
Yeah.
It's just gone into the ether.
Yeah.
That's so frustrating.
I know. Yeah. I always come up with the best shit when I'm driving, too. When I'm driving or when I'm in the shower. Like, the most impossible places to fucking write anything down.
Right.
So I actually put a notepad in, like, on top of my toilet in my bathroom. I just said my toilet on your podcast. You're
That's
welcome.
That's okay. Yeah. Hey, you have a toilet. Everybody poops. Okay.
But not robots, according to my son. They get rid of the bad oil, but that's not poop.
It's just an oil change.
Aw, you're 5. That's cute.
I love your perspective, little guy.
You know what? You guys really do say the darndest things. You do. You do.
Well, thank you, Jody, for coming and driving out to Aurora and
thanks for having me, guys.
Talking with us, and thank you, Micah, for
really
hosting
fun.
Us.
Well, you know, it's no Adam Carolla Studios or anything, but it'll do.
Is this not?
It works.
I thought this was like an exact replica.
that's the model we're building after. Just gotta clear some more debris first.
Do not have Christmas lights and a punching bag and 9 drum sets.
That's all just one drum set.
That is a lot of drums.
Hey, you
it's
know,
a house of musicians.
Did I not mention that my roommate is Neil Peart?
You did not. I don't know. I
it's fallen on hard
do
times.
Do not know who that is, but
he's a drummer of Rush. It's not.
It's no big deal, you know, whatever. You just lost sexy points.
I'd like to thank our sponsor.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, come do it.
Can I have that?
Yeah.
That brochure?
Yeah. Well, you can have this card. And,
sweet.
So Healing Waters Mind and Body Float Studio. Like I said, go and fucking get rid of all that garbage that's in your head and fill it with something positive.
I'll meet you there.
Mention
we'll race to see who achieves enlightenment first.
Yeah.
Mention the Table Noise podcast or my name Bradley Haltom and get
or the Mother Goddess
or the Mother Goddess and get your first float for $30, which is like I said, like 40% off, which is
decent.
Good deal. It's a good deal. 90 minutes for $30. 90 minutes of something that'll enjoy for sure.
Something that you can achieve within 30 minutes after eating mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Right, but you could go to jail for that.
Yeah,
you can't go to jail for floating.
Yeah, and you, I'm down.
And you don't feel good when you're on mushrooms. Like, have you ever been uncomfortably high?
I'm not going to confirm or deny that, but I'm going to disagree with you.
I allegedly hear that you feel really uncomfortable, and that sometimes you just want it to be over.
You can.
And that doesn't happen with the float tank.
That is not an experience that is for...
Common?
Well, I won't say that. I will say that I disagree.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs, you guys.
Drugs are bad. Drugs are bad, you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Unless you really, really need them, then...
You guys want to go get some drugs?
Take your Klonopin. Bye.
Bye.